This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
They're just so good. Welcome on in. It is The Final Out, sponsored by Regency Furniture. Affordable never looks so good. I mean, I get it. Regency Furniture never looks so good. Affordable never looks so good. But how about the Phils, man? How about the Phils? 25-11. And it's so, like, I know that's their record. And I know it. This might be a little overdramatic for a beginning of a regular season, but I'm kind of in pinch me moment. I mean, it's been a while since we've had a team this good or start the season this good around here. I mean, we're going back 10 years. I mean, they're so good. I'm starting to think I'm going to be peaking a little bit too early. We can't be peaking in May. We can peak at the right time. Let me slow down a little bit, Phils. The game wrap-up sponsored by Blaser Swiss Lube and Kravitz. The metalworking fluid specialist providing professional CNC machine cleaning, coolant maintenance programs, and waste coolant disposal. Kravitz.online. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. If you're leaving the ballpark, another good crowd today. I mean, a Monday at 4 o'clock with some bark in the park, a lot of dogs in the house. Not even talking about Brandon Marsh, but there's a lot of dogs in the house today. 35,000-ish in the ballpark. Pretty good. I mean, pretty good. It's been good crowds. Last night on Sunday Night Baseball, I thought was just great. So if you're stuck in traffic on your way home, give us a call and tell me what you saw today down at the ballpark. But my biggest takeaways of the game, which is brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury firm. And my big takeaway, you know, the reaction, obviously, when you lose a great player is, oh, bleep. Like they're playing so well. The last thing you want to happen is to slow down any momentum that you have. And what this team is doing right now, I know it's only been three games, but this is a lot like what happened when Bryce went down in 22 after Blake Snell hit him in the hand, where every player in the team just kind of stepped it up a little bit. And I'm already having a little bit of like 07 Tadahito Oguchi it's vibes from Whit Merrifield right now. You know, saving the team. But this is what good teams do. And the Phillies have good depth in the outfield, in the infield. Merrifield, smart from that aspect of he can play second, he can play left field if needed. But what you're starting to see is a lot of the big guns starting to wake up and pick up. Because, like, listen, it's easy when you see a guy post every day batting 350-ish to be like, oh, well, Trey's got us. There's a little something that clicks when he's all of a sudden out of the lineup to where everyone feels like they got to pick up their weight a little bit more. Obviously, the greatest example of this is, and it's not as dire as that was, you know, it's just May, he's going to miss 6 months, 6 weeks, whatever. But the most dire was obviously when Wentz tore his ACL. But what Malcolm said and really what happened after that is that we all we need, and every single guy on that team started to step up a little bit. And that's what we're seeing, at least so far, with the Turner injury. I mean, JT looks good in the two-hole. Schwarber. Harper starting to heat up here a little bit. Boehm had his 18-game hitting streak come to an end today. But you're starting to see a lot of these other guys starting to pick it up. And that's a sign of a good baseball team. So 10 straight at Citizens Bank Park. But, you know, it does remind me, I mean, their record was pretty good with Bryce out of the lineup in 2022, and that's obviously when Schwarber heated up, and I think we're kind of starting to see the same here from this team. The second thing, second biggest takeaway from the game today is let's just keep pitching Zach Wheeler on regular rest. Seems like a pretty good recipe for success. Obviously, he did not pitch on regular rest in his last start, and it was maybe the worst command we've seen from him in a long time around here. So back on normal rest today, back to normal Zach Wheeler, just dominant, 11 strikeouts, probably would have had, I mean, obviously it wasn't earned, it was unearned, had stopped, made a good throw in that inning, but still, I mean, just efficient strikes, fastball command, right back where it usually is. Let's just maybe stick Zach Wheeler on regular rest. And, you know, I brought this up last time. It's like, well, why can't they go six-man, but if they want to keep Wheeler on his regular days, if they couldn't do that? Maybe something they try to figure out if they want to keep any kind of a six-man kind of rotation. But regardless, seems like when Zach Wheeler is on his regular rest, he's doing his thing. And the third biggest takeaway is Bob Melvin just, like, what does he do? Like, do we have some voodoo over Bob Melvin here at Citizens Bank Park? For those of you that don't understand what I'm saying, Bob Melvin is the Giants manager. 2 years ago, in 2022, he was the Padres manager who did not bring Josh Hader in to face Bryce Harper in the eighth inning. Was that a Bob Melvin decision? Was that a Josh Hader decision? I don't know, but Josh Hader was warmed up, so I'd assume that he was ready to come into the game to face Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, nevertheless, hits Bedlam at the Bank, and Phillies baseball is never the same. If Josh Hader's in that game, I could see it going a totally different way. But regardless, it didn't happen. Then Bob Melvin today, Mason Black. Now, maybe they didn't tell Bob Melvin this. Maybe they said, hey, we're not going to alert the manager to this guy's career high in pitches. Mason Black had not pitched more than 71 pitches in AAA this year. Melvin's got him out there in the 80s facing the Phil's lineup for the third time, and that's when Bryce Harper goes yard. And what is he doing? It's like he comes to Citizens Bank Park, and he just has a ton of brain farts. It's ridiculous. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. My player of the game is obviously Zach Wheeler. Player of the game, sponsored by South Jersey Gas, committed to providing safe, reliable, affordable natural gas. Make the switch at southjerseygas.com/lovemyhome. We got a good ball club here, folks. We have a good baseball team. 25-11. If you're leaving the ballpark, get in now. 215-592-9494. Steve's in Norristown. What's happening, Steve?
Hey, Jack. How we doing? I'm excited.
Hard not to be, buddy. I mean, it's been a long – listen, they've had good regular seasons like after June the last 2 years. I mean, what we're seeing right now is them just starting the season, getting hot, and hopefully can just ride this wave towards at least a division contention in September, which hasn't been the case the last couple of years.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't know if you remember me. I called you 2 weeks ago and gave you some pointers for your best man speech. I heard on the High Hopes podcast that it went well.
It did. It did. I think your tips definitely helped. But really,
good. Okay. The Phils, though, I'm so happy and I'm so excited with this team. The fact that Castellanos, you know, got on four times today is awesome.
It's a miracle.
I had a great day where I left work early. I went down. I had my radio, just Fransky LA, me and keeping score. And it was just an awesome me day. I highly recommend it to any baseball fan. Just have a me day at the ballpark. It's awesome.
Well, plus there's a bunch of dogs around you, right? I mean, that's
there was. It was so fun. I didn't even know going into today. And my wife texted me. She's like, you forgot your dog. And I was like, well, I'm here, so that's good enough.
That's awesome, man. Glad you had a great day at the ballpark. Yeah. A little bark at the park action. You know, for more sparse crowds, I feel like it makes sense. When there's 35,000, I kind of feel bad for the dogs. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. Biggest takeaway from the game and a whole lot more. Coming up next, on the other side, the injury report was something that might have happened in the ninth inning to keep an eye on, and some other bright spots from today. It's Jack Fritz hanging out with you here on the Final Out on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It is the Final Out, sponsored by Regency Furniture. Affordable never looked so good. Yes, you heard that. You heard that piece of audio right there. It may be May 6th. The month of the season's already done. And no, he hasn't missed any time to injury. And no, he hasn't sat a game yet, as he's running down Cal Ripken one day at a time. One day at a time, Nick Castellanos is getting closer and closer to chasing down Cal Ripken. I mean, the true Iron Man of our generation, Nick Castellanos. You can't take him out of the lineup, especially with how hot he is. But one of the bright spots today is what Nick Castellanos did at the plate. And yes, that is his first double. Yes, it is May 6th, but regardless, it's his first double of the year. On base four times today, two walks. It seems like he's walking a bit more this year than in years past, which I guess is a good sign. Had two hits, had a double. Just hope anything can get him going. I mean, the nicest part about where this lineup is at right now is they've been able to survive. I mean, you look at the stats on offenses in baseball, and by every metric, they're a top five unit. And I know it hasn't felt that way at times. And I think a lot of that was aided because of what happened early in the season. But really, since the first week, the offense has been fine. So the nice part about where the offense is at right now is that with Stott not really hitting, Castellanos not really hitting, Rojas being Rojas, it hasn't sunk them. Now, that's a testament to the jobs that Schwarber and obviously Turner and Bohm and Harper, I think, is starting to heat up here a little bit, but it hasn't sunk them, and they've been able to like stay afloat while those guys find their stroke a little bit. And you know, when to act like everyone in the lineup's gonna be high at the same time is just unrealistic. I know we have this idea that's how baseball works, so hopefully, you know, if some of the other guys start cooling down here a little bit, that's where Castellanos steps up. That's where Stott gets going. And then it's just ebbs and flows of a baseball season. Castellanos had that game out in Los Angeles that I thought was going to really kind of get him going, and then hasn't really taken off from there. Maybe this is breaking out of this thing. But regardless, I haven't felt the Castellanos struggles the way that I feel like you typically would for a guy who's played every game and is hitting 197. They've done a nice job of treading water while waiting for him to kind of get going here. So I thought Castellanos, that's a positive day at the plate. Continue to like what Merrifield brings. You know, he reminds me of Polanco a lot. You know, same kind of swing. Not really here for power. Can hit one out of the ballpark. I think he's got, what, two on the year. But really just a hitter. I mean, that's what he is. He's obviously a little bit older. He's 35, plays a good second base. You know, that double play in the first inning was pretty smooth. It's obviously his best position. Like, he can play left field, but it's more stand there. It's not like he's an excellent left fielder. Second base seems to be his calling card for sure. But at least, like, early in the season, I was worried this guy just might be cooked. Just might not have it. Like, he's 35, was injured last year after was an all-star, might just be done. And I haven't felt that way in watching him in recent weeks. And with Turner going down, I feel pretty good about where the middle infield is, whether they want to put Stott at short, whether they want to put Edmundo at short. I think both those guys are pretty good at it. Stott did have the bad throw today, but made some nice plays at shortstop. Witt's a pretty good second baseman, but you know, they have enough there to where the Turner injury should not crater them. You know, obviously we need Stott to get going a little bit at the plate more, and Witt needs to keep it up. But overall, like, it's not something that should sink them. So, but at least Whit Merrifield is now doesn't look pretty cooked out there. So that's good. And then the final thing here before we get to some phones and the injury report is I thought Kirkering, that was a good step forward for him. I'm a really big Kirkering guy. I think he's got dynamic stuff, and the one drawback of him, I guess, so far is it's like, dude, you got 98, man. Like, throw the fastball a little bit. Today, I thought he threw the fastball a little bit more. It's like, I think his fastball usage after today is probably going to be around 60%, which is fine, because last year, or no, his sweeper usage is going to be about 60%. Last year, it was 89%, I'm pretty sure. It's too much. The sweeper is one of the better pitches in baseball, like by the numbers. I know Ben Kenny's a huge stuff plus guy, but by the numbers, it's one of the best in the sport. And but we know the major league hitters are going to hit if they see it more, the more and more they see it. So he needs that fastball to, if he wants to pitch backwards, that's fine. If he wants to use this the sweeper as the pitch he throws more often, but the fastball has to be there. And it looks like they added some sink to it. You know, it was moving a good amount tonight. So it's just big and get guys off the barrel. So it was a good step forward for Kirkering. And they need another right-handed option out there. I know Turnbull's out there now. We'll see what his role is. I'd be surprised if he is a high leverage kind of guy. I think he could do it. Like, maybe his stuff sees an uptick being in the bullpen. But I think they kind of want to keep him stretched out and maybe piggyback some of these guys. But with Marte going down, Sir Anthony, well, I think he's slowly turning the corner. He's not exactly in everyone's trust tree. And Hoffman, who is just dynamite, they need someone else there. And Kirkering needs to be that guy, especially for right now. So I thought that was a good step in the right direction. Throwing that fastball more and more is something that he desperately needs. So, and Matt Strom is just Matt Strom. Just continues to be solid, solid, solid. 215-592-9494. If you're leaving the ballpark, would love to hear from you. Richie's in Philly. What's happening, Richie?
First of all, Jack, I want to compliment you. I'm a baseball guy. I'm in my 70s. I've been following the Phillies since the 1950s with Ennis and Roberts and stuff. I usually call up Jody Mack, and it's really refreshing to have a really good, excellent baseball guy like you. I mean, really refreshing.
And appreciate
you know your
it.
Stuff.
Thank
you.
You
know
man.
Your stuff. I mean, I've been listening to decades of radio. And at the beginning of the year, remember, Jack, all these people in the Phillies were 2-5. Oh, they're going to, I thought they wanted to get off to a fast start. And I'm saying to myself, they're treating like a football season.
You know? Yeah, and that's when you know the casuals are out early. You know, like everyone's just paying attention. And then right around now is when they stop paying attention.
Yeah, but Jack, you know that. Like the first 8 or 10 games was like 2 minutes of a football game or something, you know?
I know.
I mean, And you know this year they're going to go into a – baseball is a game of ebbs and flows. They're going to probably lose maybe 5-0 sometime. You can't, just got to look at the macrocosm, the whole thing, basically.
Yeah, and
I think
the good part, Richie, is that – and what I hope happens, like them being 25-11, they're obviously going to go through a bit of a swoon here. I just don't think we're going to get the freak out if they go through a swoon. Like I hope that what has happened now is that people just kind of trust this team, given that we know them now. Like we went through 2022, we went through 2023. Like I think we know who these guys are. So I hope we don't get the Fire Thompson like freak out when they lose 4-6, because we know that's going to happen.
Wait a minute, quick thing before you let me go. Are you going to be on every post game with the extra innings in every post game, Jack?
During the week, I will.
It's
but
it's a pleasure Saturday. Listening to you. I mean, like I said, I've been listening to sports talk for decades. I mean, you're like a real baseball purist, and usually I don't like to hear most of the people. I like Jody Mack a lot, and I like Ricky Ricardo because they're baseball guys too. But, you know, you understand the game, and it's not that common anymore, you know?
Well, I appreciate it, Richie. Thank you for the kind words. I mean, another pure baseball guy is coming up after me and Robbie. I mean, when I think of Phillies baseball, Robbie E's one of the faces of Phillies baseball coverage. 215-592-9494. The injury report is sponsored by the Plumbers Union Local 690. Protecting the health of the nation, visit plumbers690.org. And one to monitor here. So Alec Boehm missed the game over the weekend with this hip injury that, you know, is kind of there. I guess it's lingering. They pulled him out of the game a little bit early. And everyone's like, oh, here we go. Turner's hurt. Now Boehm's hurt. Well, in the ninth inning tonight, it looked like he was kind of fighting it again. And just file that one away, because the swing didn't look as powerful today. I know he didn't get a hit. He's 0-4. No reason to cause panic in the streets. But I wonder if he's got a little bit of a hip thing and he just played through it because he's on the hot streak. Maybe they sit him tomorrow. Maybe they get him off his feet for a day. He said he's played through it worse, but I just couldn't tell if late it looked like he was fighting that thing a little bit. So one to monitor for sure. On the other side, we will look ahead to tomorrow. Blue Jays coming into town. We'll get to the play of the game and run your phone calls before handing things off to Robbie here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Uh-oh, someone's heating up. Welcome on back. It is the final out, sponsored by Regency Furniture. Affordable never looks so good. That is our play of the game, sponsored by Mike's Amazing, the official mayo and mustard of the Phillies. Yes, Bryce Harper, back-to-back days with a home run. Almost hit one early in the game, smoked the ball late. I still can't believe his average is only 235. I look forward to it being 285 by the end of May. That's my prediction. By the end of May, he'll be around 280, 285, and like he's already at 8 home runs. He's at 8 home runs. I'll put him at 15 home runs by the end of May. Like when Bryce gets in these modes, pretty hard to stop. And especially with Turner going out, this is where it's like, all right, Bryce, like more pressure kind of falls on your shoulders here. And so far, so good. Looked really good today. You know, back-to-back days with a home run, opposite way. I love when he's thinking opposite field. That's how you know that he's kind of in a zone, is when he's thinking opposite field. And shout-out to Bob Melvin. Again, I'm not sure what he's doing. I just don't get. Like, did he not look at the scouting reports to decide, like, hey, this guy's thrown more than 71 pitches in an inning? Should I let him face the top of the lineup for a third time in his major league debut? I mean, maybe Mason Black was looking to give one back to the team that he grew up rooting for, but I don't think that was the case. Bob Melvin, man, just comes here and completely forgets how to manage. We'll look ahead to tomorrow in 1 second, but Rays in Delaware. What's happening, Ryan?
Hey, I want to just say that, season ticket holder, and I would love to hear other people's perspective, but I think there's just a different vibe with the fans. Like, people are more positive. When I left the ballpark tonight, there's not a big anxiety to rush to the gate and cut people off, and I'm going to beat you. Like, previous springs, people, I think there was tension. Like, oh, man, we're off to a slow start. And I think it did affect people leaving. I just felt more positive, even coming in. Like, hey, how you doing? Let's go. It's just... It's amazing. It's a different vibe. And not that I didn't enjoy the other games, but I like these a hell of a lot better. So that's my cut on the game tonight.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Ray. And I don't know how other people feel, but for me, like I just have this calmness while watching them now. Like early in the season, I mean, it was meltdown city with some of these losses last couple of years. But I think it's because I put so much pressure on them, like, don't collapse, don't fold, like, just stay in this thing and go on a run and just be good so I don't have to deal with the backlash at work on social media and stuff like that. And I guess I just got to a point now where I just trust them. And I think they're just a damn good team that I think is just – I think a lot of people are just kicking back and saying, all right, what's the team going to do now? Like, how are they going to find a way to win this ball game? And I think it's a couple things. I think the fan base is just more calm. And listen, that'll ramp up in the postseason. We know that. But I also think that I think people just really like this team. Like, listen, we work at WIP. We find things to talk about. And it's like, what do we talk about with the team? I mean, the biggest talking point or the thing that drives people crazy is the Schwarber leadoff thing. And it's like, well, at some point, it's just is what it is. They win with them there. They're off to their best start, one of the best starts in franchise history. And it's every game Schwarber's been at leadoff. Last couple of years, they've tried to take him out of leadoff. They put him back in there, and it just works. Is it unconventional? Yeah. But it works. It works. So, like, Thompson gets it. I mean, people crush him, but, like, the guy's loyal. And if it's May and he wants to stick with the starter because he wants to tell him, like, hey, I got your back, maybe that gets the best out of that starter a couple weeks from now, or a reliever, hey, I still trust you. You can have that leeway. You can have that leeway when the team gets off to as good of a start as they did. And you obviously hope that when when October rolls around, Thompson has a feel and knows when to get guys in and out of spots rather than leaving them in too long. But for right now, it's just not that big of a deal. So, but everything else, like even the Marsh interview last night, it was that's this team. And I just think they are a super, super likable group, plays hard, wins a lot. And I just think it's a real love affair between the city and the baseball team. And it goes back to the standing O's last year, the 22 playoff run with, you know, everything that happened in that game or during that run. So it's really kind of just all carried over. It's a good time to be a fan of this team. Rich is in Swedesboro. What's happening, Rich? Rich?
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Rich? How's it going,
hey,
man?
Hey, good evening. I just want to, you know, mention, you know, we were at the game tonight. I had tickets. We were sitting at 124, which is like maybe we were 25 rows above home plate. But to the left of us, I guess it was 125 section, there was a bunch of San Francisco fans. And yeah. I didn't realize it, but they were there to see the pitcher from Scranton, Kid Black. And when they took him out in that game, he got like a nice standing ovation from Philly fans. You know, he was acknowledged for what he did. I mean, he went, you know, what, 4 or 5 innings, holding us to one run at that time. And then we, of course, Harper hit the home run. But he got a really nice round of applause. And that shows class, and I don't know anyone ever mentions that.
Yeah, well, listen, we're a classy organization, Rich. That's who we are as fans, as Philly fans. First thing out of most people's mouth is class. And, yeah, you know, it was Mason Black's obviously grew up in Scranton as a big Phillies fan. I heard on the broadcast that Roy Halladay was the guy that he really looked up to as a kid. And, I mean, so did I. You know, I guess we're not around the same age. I think he's 24. But, yeah, Halladay was my guy, too, as a young pitcher. He's, like, the perfect guy to kind of resemble yourself after. It's funny. A lot of kids growing up now are going to say Wheeler, and rightfully so. I mean, the guy's just dominant. But, yeah, I mean, that's good stuff. And maybe it's because also – they just got done scoring 5 off of them. It made it a little bit easier. But, yeah, it was a nice touch by the fans. Tomorrow, Blue Jays are in town. Blue Jays, a bit disappointing. You know, a couple of years ago, it's like, wow, Blue Jays are next. Blue Jays, they signed Springer. Vladdy Jr.'s looking like a stud. Bo Bichette, Kevin Biggio at the time, not much anymore. It was like, okay, the Blue Jays are like that next team in the AL. And they've just never really figured it out. And tomorrow – Chris Sanchez is on the mound versus Jose Berríos. Berríos has had a really good start to the year. You know, he's kind of struggled since going to Toronto and never really lived up to the hype with Minnesota, but he's got a 1-4 on the year. So Jose Berríos is off to a hot start. And Chris Sanchez, like, I'm curious to see, you know, people always talk about Taiwan and Turnbull, like, oh, you got to get Taiwan out there for Turnbull. It's been two straight shaky Chris Sanchez starts. Changeup hasn't looked as good. He seems to be turning it over more and more. It's interesting, like, he started throwing a little bit harder. You know, he was more 91 to 92 when he was actually dominant. And it seems like the last three starts, he's had an uptick in velocity, and it's actually harmed him from the standpoint of having a good feel for that changeup. So I'll be curious to see what it looks like tomorrow, because he's another candidate to where if Turnbull – or if he slips up here, that Turnbull can kind of take his spot in the rotation. The flip side is – he's a young pitcher. He's under club control. You want to develop him. You're off to a good start. He is pitching to a 3.6 ERA, which you take from your 4 or 5 starter every single day of the week. Do you want to rush him out of the rotation for a guy that you gave him a $2 million major league contract to? I don't know. So it's a tough situation to be in. But regardless, Christopher Sanchez goes tomorrow, and we'll look to kind of get him back on track a little bit. Either way, that's going to do it for me. Thanks to everyone who joined the show tonight. Ben Kenny produced Behind the Glass. Rob Ellis, Robbie E., he will take you through the rest of the night. I'll be back tomorrow. We got both leading off and final out on afternoons. So I'll be back tomorrow on the final out here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.